looking at a lot prayer and drawing points on prayer from Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And to refresh your memories, look at verse 9. It says, Matthew 6, verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. We have looked at several areas here. Number one, we have looked at the first line that says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And we talk about how important it is as we come to God, the first thing before we ask for anything, before we are even in the position, in the privileged position to ask for something, it is to give Him our worship, to give Him our praise. And we have seen one of the reasons why prayers are not successful is that when people come before God, they think about their own needs first. They don't worship God and minister to the Lord and give Him the praise and the glory due unto Him. So the first point we have covered is how important it is to worship God, to hallow His name. Secondly, we have seen the second line where it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. And about how it's important for us as after we worship Him, it's a desire for His kingdom, to seek the kingdom of God first, to seek the things of God above the things of our own selfish needs. And that's the second important point. And part of the teaching we have covered is how Hannah sought after the Lord for her needs. And later on, when she forgot about herself and she started speaking about the needs of God's kingdom, she said, Lord, if you give me a child, I give the child back to you. She began to think about the needs of God's kingdom. That was when God started answering her prayers. We've given Hannah as an example. And as we go to the third area here, where the next line it says, give us this day our daily bread. And that's connected, in fact, to your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. So tonight we're going to look at that point first, and as we look, let's zoom in from the will of God. There are three things that we have mentioned. One is the name of God, hallowing His name. Number two is the kingdom of God, seeking His kingdom first. Number three is the will of God, which connects to give us this day our daily bread. The will of God is important as we come before Him in prayer. Successful prayer must do two things about the will of God. Number one is to seek to do His will, which is covered in the kingdom of God part. When we seek His kingdom first, we actually are seeking His will. But there's a second aspect to the will of God that relates to our needs. That second aspect is knowledge of the will. It's important as we come to God to know what His will is. Unless we know what the will of God is in a particular situation, we can never pray the prayer of faith which relates to our needs that we have read there. Give us our daily bread. We cannot have our needs met unless we realize it's God's will to meet our needs. And I know you probably have heard this statement before where some people say, God supplies our needs, but not our wants. Sounds very nice, sounds very spiritual. Now, let me ask you this question. As parents, when you take care of your children, do you just supply their needs or do you also supply their wants? Your child may come to you after dinner and say, could I have an ice cream please? You say, no, you already have enough food, you have taken enough sufficient protein for the day, enough vitamins, and that is a want. So I don't supply your wants. That is your wants. I only supply your need. You only need how much protein, how much vitamins, that's it. You say, Mama, can I have just a small piece of chocolate please? No, that's indulgence. Repent.
See, these are the things that we relate to our children. Let's be realistic. Jesus said, how much more will our Father give us above any earthly father? And so those who say that God supplies only our needs, I understand what they're saying. We are not just running down that statement. We understand why people teach that way. The reason they teach that way and make these statements is they're afraid that people will ask God for selfish things. That people will use the principles of God for their own covetous ends. But in teaching that way, you remove also a wonderful aspect of truth about the love that God has for us, who wants to supply above our needs. So sometimes corrective teaching must be balanced. For example, just because some people misuse money doesn't mean we get rid of money. See, that will be a damaging correction. Just because your child abuses a toy doesn't mean that for the whole life of the child, no more toys. That is called a very destructive correction. You swing right to the extreme. And sometimes when people try to balance a covetous or wrong teaching, people emphasize to the extent that they remove part of the beauty of what God is revealing in His Word. God's Word tells us in Psalm 23 verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It tells me that God is not only interested in my needs, He's interested in my wants. So those who make that statement, I don't know from which Bible they are reading from. Psalm 23 verse 1, it tells you the Lord supplies our wants if He's your shepherd. Psalm 34 tells us, let's look at Psalm 34. Look at some scriptures. Psalm 34. Verse 9. O fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no one to those who fear God. There is no one to those who fear God. God supplies their wants. The young lions lack and suffer hunger. But those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. That tells us something about God. That God is interested in supplying our wants as much as our needs. See, there are certain things that God gives us the liberty to press further into. He is like a wonderful father who wants to give us something that is extra, something that is good. He supplies our needs according to His riches and not according to our needs. The Bible does not say God supplies my needs according to my needs. It says God supplies my needs according to His riches. His abundance. That tells me that God is not going to supply just my needs. Whenever you read about Jesus supplying needs, you notice something. Jesus always supplied more than enough. When He fed the 5,000 that was left over. When He fed the 4,000 that was left over. Mind you, this was a miracle. He could have made it exactly where He fed the 5,000 no more. But there was always a leftover so that whoever needs a second meal. And you know that if we have a love feast in the church, some people eat more than others. Right? It wouldn't be that a miracle happened in such a way that everyone had two fishes and two loaves, and after that they got no more extra. See, God is interested in some of those who need just an extra piece of bread, an extra fish. And as you come, God says, no, that is your want, your greed, repent. No, He has so much extra that I'm sure some of them, like some of you young men, had a second helping. Some of those extra hungry folks, they got a second helping, a third helping. They eat as much as they want, and there was extra. God supplies our needs and our wants. Now understand it, that people are afraid when you talk like that because of people moving to the other extreme of selfishness, etc. But if you see the principles of God properly, when you have worshipped God, when you seek first the kingdom of God, there is nothing left except good wants. And the things that you want become things that are good, beneficial, both to the kingdom of God and to yourself. After you pass through those stages, after you have worshipped God and let the presence of God melt away all your selfish desires, after you have spent time seeking God and His will, what else do you want except the things of God? It's a wonderful thing that our Father loves us so much. Here it says the will of God. In order to reach successful prayer, we must understand the will of God. And before we can understand the will of God, we must understand the Word of God. All successful prayer is based on an understanding of the will. If you don't understand what the will of God is, you can never pray successfully. You can never pray with faith and confidence. Sometimes people are not sure of the will of God, and so they will say, "If it be thy will." There are many types of prayer. There are many types of prayer. There is the prayer of dedication, where you dedicate yourself to the will of God. But in the prayer of dedication, you can say, "If it is your will. Lord, if it's your will for me to go to Africa, I go. If it's your will to go to Russia, I will go." You're saying, "If." Now, that kind of prayer is a prayer where you give something to God. You give your life. You give your commitment to God. You can use an if. But if it's a prayer where you receive something from God, there is no more room for you to ask if. See, the direction is different. If you are surrendering yourself to God, if it's appropriate, you should be willing to do anything He asks you to. If you ask you to do this, you will be willing, whatever. But when it comes to receiving, the if is very destructive. It shows that you are not sure of God's will. It shows that you did not discover or spend the time finding out what the will of God is for your life. It shows laziness and ignorance of the covenant of God that you had. It's not noble anymore when it comes to praying for something to receive. So it depends on which direction you're talking about. If it's you giving of yourself to God, then the if is appropriate. It's classified as a prayer of dedication. But if it's a prayer where you are on the receiving end, whether it be intercession, whether it be a petition — intercession is when you pray for somebody else, petition is when you pray for yourself — you have to know what God's will is. If you're not sure whether it's God's will to save your parents, how can you pray? How can you intercede? You don't have the confidence to intercede. See, when we are receiving something from God, and our prayers are in the sense of receiving, we need to remove the if. The if becomes a badge of doubt. And let me show some examples how that it is important for us to know the will before we can pray successfully. And all prayers that are successful on the receiving end is always based on an understanding of the will of God, which is the Word of God. When Abraham was interceding for Sodom and Gomorrah, let's turn to the book of Genesis. See some examples of prayer. The book of Genesis. In verse 23, his intercession was based on a principle. It was not a principle-less intercession. Successful intercession, successful prayer is based on knowledge of the will of God. Knowledge of the principles of God. Abraham made this statement in verse 23 as God revealed to him about how he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham came near and said, "Would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked?" Now, Abraham understood this principle. Abraham knew that God will not destroy the righteous with the wicked. That is a principle he understood. He understood the nature of God. He understood the will of God. It is never the will of God to destroy the righteous with the wicked. He had an understanding of the will of God. And so he brought the understanding in his intercession to God and said, would God destroy the righteous with the wicked? Knowing that the answer is no. And then he continued in his intercession and said, if there are 50 righteous, would you spare? God says yes. And he slowly came down in the figure. And that is a marvelous example of prayer, successful prayer intercession. And in fact, if he had not stopped there and he had come down to one, the whole city would have been saved. He expected that there would be at least 10. Sadly speaking, there was none. Even then, do you notice the righteous do not perish with the wicked? The angel brought Lot out. So, prayers that are successful on to receive something from God must be based on the knowledge of the will of God. And the knowledge of the will of God is not something that comes by accident. Knowledge does not come by accident. Even natural knowledge does not come by accident. If you want to understand something, you apply yourself with time and effort and study to understand some field of education. Whether it be computer, whether it be airplanes, whether it be a managerial course or something like that. You apply yourself in the natural. Spiritually is the same. When we want to be successful in the principle of God, we must take the time to discover the principles that are involved. When you're praying for your parents' salvation, you must have assurance of God's word. How can you pray for your loved ones if you're not sure of God's will for them? I stood on Acts 16 verse 31 for my parents. For one whole year I prayed for my father, and I would constantly quote that word. I pray with the knowledge, knowing that it is the will of God to have my parents safe and born again. I pray with the knowledge. And through constant prayer, using the word of God and quoting the word of God, my parents all got born again. And there are many people who are praying for their loved ones who have no knowledge of the word and who are not using their covenant. The will of God that is written for them. A will is something that you must discover before it takes effect. A will is something that you must have knowledge of before it can take effect. If you have a written will by somebody and you don't understand how it applies and how to bring it about to enforce it, then it is plain useless to you, just a piece of paper. So this is called a covenant. The opening of both books is called New Testament, Old Testament. It's the old word. Actually, it means Old Covenant, New Covenant. If we have translated the word covenant, it would have been Old Agreement, New Agreement. God has a set of agreement, principles that He based on His relationship with us. So all successful prayer is always based on principles. Knowledge of the will of God. If you don't know the will of God, you cannot pray successfully on receiving it. You may pray successfully in surrendering yourself to God, but to receive your daily bread, to receive things that you need into your life, you need to, number one, understand what the word of God said in your life. I'm surprised that many times people pray for many things, that if we ask them, on what scripture are you standing on, they cannot quote any scripture. They do not know what the word of God says in those areas. You know, that is like being plain lazy. If you have a court case, and you know what it involves, even if you are not a lawyer and not dependent on you're dependent on a lawyer, you will want to find out what your case involves. You will want to find out some knowledge about your case. And here you are coming before God, petitioning for your needs. And God has given His law book that has many specific laws in regard to different areas of our lives. And many people are just too plain lazy to find out what the word of God says in those areas, and so they don't bring the word of God in those areas. If you're praying for your studies, how are you praying for your studies? What scriptures are you standing on? So brother, are there scriptures on study? Yes, I have plenty of them here. Psalms 119 verse 99 verse 100. You shall understand more than the ancients and more than your teachers. What about Daniel chapter 1? 10 times smarter than all the wise men of those days. See, there are scriptures that talk about the wisdom of God. And the reason why Christians are not successful is because they have not utilized and understood the will of God in their prayer life. See, every time when it's a crisis, it's a man of God who understood God's covenant who succeeds in their prayers. There's a major crisis in the book of Chronicles, chapter 20. Second Chronicles. Chapter 20. And here's a major crisis. In verse 1, it happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is En-Gedi." Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast for all Judah. That's wonderful. He did the first few steps. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, "O Lord God, our Father, are you not God in heaven? Do you not rule over all the nations of the kingdoms of the nations, and in your hand is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever?" Notice what he is doing. He's quoting the Bible. He's quoting what the Old Testament says, that this land that people are coming to possess, people are coming to surround and to capture, this land was given to Abraham. He's basing it on the Abrahamic covenant. When God told Abraham, "Look to the north, to the east, to the south, to the west." God says, "Look at all this land I have given to you." And he's quoting the Bible. He's quoting what God said to Abraham. "This has been given." And then he says, "They dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it and your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us." Notice what he is quoting. He's quoting King Solomon's words. King Solomon built the sanctuary, the temple, and said these very words that are in verse 9. "If anything comes, and if the people of God will cry unto him, will pray, for your name is in this temple," he is in a temple now, "and cry out to you in our affliction, you will hear and say." Notice what he's basing his prayer on. In a crisis, let me tell you, in a crisis, you're like a drowning man clutching to any straw you can have. And what you need to hold on to is the word. I know what it is like sometimes when you pray and you felt like you just need something to hold on to, something that will give you hope, something that will give you inspiration. It's the written word of God. You have to hold on to the word of God. Hold fast to the word of God. Take it with all your might. Discover it. It's your source of strength. What many people do is, one of the first things they do is neglect the word. In times when they need the word most, they neglect the word. Successful prayer is taking the word, understanding what the word says about you. Jehoshaphat knew what the word said about themselves. See, Solomon had covenant with God and said, "God, whenever people pray in this temple, crying unto you, will hear." And he's quoting the same word. He said, "It has been said." He's quoting the covenant. The will of God must be quoted. When it comes to praying for your needs, the needs that are in your life, definitely you cannot put an if inside. When you're receiving something, there's no such thing as if. When you're giving something to God, the if can be involved, like your life. But on the receiving end, if means you do not believe, you're ignorant of the word, you're just plain too lazy to discover what the word of God says in those areas. You need to know the will. How do you know the will? You need to know the word. And the word of God is only known by getting into the word of God and discovering what it says in those particular areas of your life. If it's prosperity, discover what it says in prosperity. If it's healing, discover what the Word of God says and meditate on those areas. Get the Word of God in those areas. Hold fast to the Word of God. It is the source for all your needs. So that's the first area that we see, knowledge of the will of God. Let's look at the book of Matthew, chapter 6. We're looking at the third area. Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer. And as he says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So definitely we have to understand the will of God before we move on to our needs. It says, give us this day our daily bread. There are a few things that we see here. Notice that your name in verse 9, your kingdom and your will has all been passed through. Before the word about our daily needs come about, it is your name, your kingdom, your will. You always place God first. When you worship His name, when you have put His kingdom first, when you understood His will, then it comes to give us this day our daily bread. There are several things here that we can see. First of all, it says, give us this day, not give us this year, not give us this sanctuary. It says, give us this day. See, there are many needs in our life, and definitely we are to pray in those areas that are most relevant for us. I know that there are some needs in the future that 4 or 5 years time that may be coming up, but right now we have to exercise our faith to meet the level of our needs. Some people are not exercising faith for the areas in their present life, and they're worried to death about what is to come in 5 years' time. Unless we start exercising faith in our daily walk, give us this day, faith in our daily walk, we will not experience the growth in faith that we need in the years to come. Some people will never turn to God unless there's a crisis, which is sad. We should be exercising our faith even immediately. How many people pray these prayers to God? For example, when they are praying for a job. There are many things that people don't stop and pray. Do you realize that? We take it for granted that our own wisdom can handle it. Sometimes we just mumble something without our heart's meaning. We only pray seriously when we are in a crisis. There are many people who don't stop to pray at all. I mean, they're not dependent on God. They have been trained to depend on their wisdom and their skill. When it comes, for example, when they're graduating and they're looking for a job, they're more dependent on their ability to look, to hunt, to analyze the papers and their contacts than they are on God. So here is an expression of a dependence on God. Sometimes this is what happens. When they have looked and exhausted all their natural wisdom and resources, then they come back and say, could you please all pray for me now? Why didn't you pray earlier? Why wait till you're exhausted, half dead? Why wait until that time to pray? Why not pray immediately and turn to the Lord? This is where many people don't realize that if we don't discipline ourselves to pray the small, small, simple prayers, it will go a long way than to wait until you're in a major crisis and start your 40-day fast. It doesn't take much. Do you know that all you have to do in the morning, when you get up, for example, how many people in their world, let's say lawyers, there are many cases to deal with. How many of them actually come to God and say in the morning, say, God, I have these cases to deal with. This case about Sarabak Singh and Tanakau and Chacha Singh. Right. And God, could you please help me and give me wisdom in this area? Yet they don't. Did you know that one sentence can go a long way? He said, but I don't feel like I have prayed. Who said that it has to take very long to pray through? Who said that? Isn't prayer to be a developed relationship with God? See, we don't go by feelings. We go by expressing ourselves. And this is what I've discovered with God that the Lord has told me. If you treat Jesus as if He's a real person, you will begin to experience Him as a real person. You talk to God as if He is there, whether you feel Him or not. When you get up in the morning, say, good morning, Father. I mean, He's there, isn't it? He's there. Just because it's invisible doesn't mean He's not there. But many people don't treat Jesus as real. Jesus is only real when they enter the church and start singing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Something like that. When they're in the home, He is not real at all. Or maybe they need to wait till they feel something. But the most important aspect in our relationship with God is to speak to Him as if He's a real person. Speak out loud to Him. Simple things will go a long way in your life. If you get up in the morning, perhaps you're in sales, and you say, oh God, I'm in sales today, and I need your help. And you say, verbalize it. Don't just pray thought prayers to God, which is what people do. They just wake up. Yeah. Just think towards God, you know. That's what they do. And they just think towards God. How would you, husbands and wives, like to relate to your wives and husband that way? The wife, let me think to you. Right, you just interpret. No, you talk and you communicate. And this is a challenge that I put before you. When you treat God as real, in the small, small areas of, it's your daily need, every day. Do you know that every day we depend on God? Every day we depend on Him. Every day we need Him. You don't just need Him in a big crisis. But you're a pilot, you're flying certain flight, and you just have to say a simple prayer. God is not saying, asking for a long prayer like the Pharisees, as long as their ropes. Simple, simple prayer. Relating, expressing your need to Him. Say, Father God, I'm taking these two flights here, and I ask for your wisdom and your skill. Thank you, Father, for being with me. Thank you, Jesus, for glorifying yourself to me. That's all simple prayer. To God, verbalize it. Speak out loud to God. Every day you will need some areas of His help until it develops into a skill where this is your daily need that you have. This is a daily expression. If you read and understand the book of Nehemiah, one of the great things about Nehemiah is what you call the spontaneous prayers that he expressed. Whenever he's in a situation, he just expressed it out to God. Turn to God. Say, Lord, help in this area. He just expresses it from the bottom of his heart. It just floods out to the Lord and expresses it. Whatever your need. Do you know you can pray for everything under the sun? Some of you housewives say there's not much to pray except pray for those people in the church to be saved and the more people to be saved and born again. Don't you realize you can pray about your shopping? You don't ever talk about praying by myself. Isn't that your need? Haven't you prayed before? That praying about shopping, yes, simple things like that. Now, don't think that God is so big that He's not interested in the shopping. He's interested only in big things. You want to talk about God as that big, then you might as well say He's only interested in salvation of our spirit. That is where people fear. To see that it's God who is interested in our daily bread. Friends, your daily roti canai. Interested, come on. It's a big almighty God. Created the heavens and the earth, the galaxies of which we are part. One God is interested in your roti canai. Every day. This is what God wants to show us in the Lord's Prayer. That He's interested in the small details that we ignore and neglect. so many times in his life. How so? You just say, God, please teach me more what to cook today. You know, show me where's the best place to go shopping. Do you realize you can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit? He'll tell you, well, today there's a sale on this area, you go over there. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And you just go over there. He lives in all this, and it's exciting. You see, Jesus came to be with us. He didn't come just to save us and said, by God bless you, keep your tickets, don't lose them. Jesus came to live with us, to sup with us, to live with us, and to make our life practical. One of the wonderful things I like about David is he learned to make the Lord whatever need he has in his life. When he was a king, he says, he is my king. He has psalms about the area. When he is a shepherd, he talks about the Lord as his shepherd. When he is a warrior, he talks about the Lord is a man of war. Do you notice every psalm of he relates to some need in his life? And how he identified that the Lord was the one who could work that need out in his life? So the Lord is your engineer, the Lord is your pilot, the Lord is your whatsoever, he's your accountant, he's your secretary, the Lord is whatever, he can flow through your life. That is what that verse means when Jesus teaches the Lord's Prayer. He's teaching us how in the daily needs of life to depend on him. Not all of us eat bread every day, right? So that prayer has to be interpreted. You see, God, why should I be praying for bread every day? I would rather pray for rice. Rice bowl. If you're in Africa, you pray, Lord, I don't eat rice. I don't eat bread. Give me bananas. That's the staple food. So the meaning is that the daily detailed things of life, we must learn to express to God. God is interested. Theologically, this is what it does. It makes you dependent totally on him, which is what God wants. It makes you so dependent on him on every detail of your life. Instead of depending on him for just 5% of those crisis things, you become dependent 100% on him. And you learn to be led by the Spirit in small, small areas of your life. Every day when you wake up, what is your area? Express it unto God. And sometimes you cannot see the whole day. In the middle of the day, just talk out loud to God. Doesn't matter if people say you're crazy. Who are you talking to? I'm talking to God. Where is he? You know? It doesn't matter. You develop a relationship here. And this is the challenge that Jesus gave me. If you begin to talk to him as a real person, walk with him as a real person, he becomes real. He becomes real to you. You talk to him. And the most important aspect I want to ingrain into your life tonight is to develop the skill of talking out loud to God. It makes a difference when you talk out loud to him. It releases something from inside you. Talk out loud. Don't just mental prayers to him. Talk out loud. Don't just say, he can read my mind, he can read my desire, yes, he can read everything. He knows what you need. Then no need to pray at all. But here is where he wants us to express our need to him. Are dependent on him. He is our eternal father and we are his eternal children. And you know what children are like? They are always dependent on the father. Eternally we are children of God. Eternally he is, the first line says, our father. And the greatest joy that parents have is to see how children learn to depend on their wisdom and their guidance. How much more the joy of our Father when we learn to depend on him for small things. I know some of you have prayed it and tried in some areas. Some of you have misplaced your keys and you said, Lord, please help me find the keys. He help you find. If he can help you find your keys, can he help you in other areas to keep your keys too? Some of you have misplaced some things, your jewelry or something, and said, Lord, can you please help me to find? He help you. He brought it to your mind. More things like that. And you find it's practical. It works. Whatever your needs are, spend time praying for your daily needs. So there are 2 points that are covered. Number one, know exactly what the will of God in your practical area. What the word of God says about those areas in your life.
whether it's in your job, whether it's in a certain need in your area, what does the Word of God say in those particular petitions that you're giving to God, whether intercessions or for yourself? Secondly, it's the daily need. It's something that is every day. Thirdly, in that line, all under the third point, in asking for our needs, is it has to be specific. It has to be specific. God answers specific prayers. General prayers may have only get general answers. If you want specific prayers, you have to pray specifically. Now, as we talk about specific prayers, let me emphasize certain points here. I know, sir, when you talk about specific prayers, and you remember those times when you mentioned praying for your life partner? Right? Specific prayers. Now, let me go further so that it can be understood. When you talk about specific details, you have to listen very carefully to the Holy Spirit. Alright? And let's take an example, people who pray for their life partner. So they are very specific. They learn the prayer of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Definitely, prayer has to be specific. Right? Oh God, just give somebody, anybody, Tom, Dick, or Harry, friend, he may really give you anybody. And you may not like it. So you learn. You heard Cho Yong Yi, and then you try to be specific. So you list about 20 points. Right? So you list 20 points down, specific, okay? You list how tall he or she is, color of their eyes, you know, fat, skinny, short, ugly, and then you list all the other details. Let me speak about some of these details. You have, when you talk about specific things, you need the Holy Spirit to guide. He is your tourist guide in the things of the spirit realm. He is the only tourist guide, by the way. Don't follow other tourist guides. Let's give some scripture in those areas. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1, when you talk about specific things, praying specifically unto God. Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So we understand that there are two realms there. There is a spirit realm and there is a natural realm. And faith is the substance of the things in the spirit realm. So in the spirit there is a substance. Something that is real. Notice it is a substance. It is something real in the spirit realm. And what you have in the natural is a replica, it's a duplicate of what is in the spirit realm. The spirit realm comes first and then the natural realm. And when we talk about details, it means that you have to see in the spirit realm clearly. And there's only one tourist guide whom I know who can show you that realm clearly. That is the Holy Spirit, who knows the future and who knows the past. And He is the one who will give you some of the details. So when you talk about specific prayer, details are classified in two areas. There are two types of details. There are details that you gather from the Holy Spirit, and there are details that you gather from your soul. Now, those details that you gather from the Holy Spirit are uncompromisable. You can't compromise them at all. He changes not. But there are some details that you may have gathered from your soul. Those are compromisable because they are your soul. So details come in two categories. Let me give an example. Someone prays for a life partner and they leave certain details. Alright? Some of those details are listed because of their certain background. I know some people, for example,
who pray is a Chinese, and they say, Lord, at least all these things, the other person must be a Chinese. So when I saw the list, like, out of my usual way of checking, I say, what happened if God sends someone of another race? Say, oh no. I say, is that you saying no, or is that the Holy Spirit? Say, are you prejudiced? No. Say, did the Holy Spirit ask you to list that, or did God, or did yourself? So the person check and check. Say, go back and check some of these details. See, some of them, they heard so many and they list 20 points. Some of them, 666 points. I mean, the standards are so high. The only person who qualifies is Jesus. And he's not going to get married physically. And so I said, there's something wrong in this area, and we need to give a little bit extra teaching. So he said, there are some details that are listed that are compromisable. And some people, because they don't understand this, that there are two groups of details. One from the spirit, one could be from their soul, that is giving those details. It applies to all areas. Let's say when you want to buy a car, you're praying for a car. Who gave you that detail? Was it the spirit, or was it partly knowledge that came from your soul? See, anything from the soul is adjustable. But anything from the spirit cannot be compromised. So understand the difference in the two details. When you pray for a job and you list 20 points in a job, some of those points listed could come from your soul, which will be reasonably good, but they can be compromisable. But there are some points you listed that are directly from the Holy Spirit that cannot be compromised. So it applies to all details, and I'm taking life partnership because it's an area, you know, that's interesting to everybody. And so here, the person lists, you know, all these points. Say, you go and check. And the person went back and checked. And the person has prayed for life partner for 4 or 5 years without success. I would say something is wrong. Supposing you start praying from the age of 21. In our church, we only allow them to get involved after 21. And so you start praying from 21, and you prayed until you're about 55 years old, about to retire from your job. So I wonder why Jesus did not answer. I said, by the way, how many points you listed? Oh, just to be biblical, I listed 888, Jesus' number. So no wonder. Have you found anyone qualified yet? No. And I said, you may never, you know, you might have married an angel or something. Right? So nobody will qualify those 888 points. And what happened is that sometimes our points are from the soul. We have to differentiate. So we say, I got this brother to go back, and I say, you check those points, and which one are really in the spirit, you mark it out. Which one you discern to be your preference. Partly from your soul, partly from your teaching, your culture, and your background. Then you say, you can leave those points in, but you make a mark there. Compromisable. So he started looking through and checking, and when he came back, we got the points out, and we managed to pull out those points that are compromisable. And the moment he began to realize which points are compromisable, then God began to answer his prayers, because he found that there were more people who qualified than he thought on this compromisable point. And so before long, you know, we're going to marry this guy. Praise God. Praise God, he married a girl of a different race. He said, oh, I never thought that it would happen, but it happened. Dang, 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 right? So it happened. So we help the person into that. And here is where when we pray for certain things, some of the answers are not coming because we are listing our own points down. Let me give you an example when I pray for things specifically. Let's say when I pray for a car, when I pray for a car, after we give our first car away, it was a Daihatsu Sharan, and we give it away, and then after that we were praying. What we wanted was a reasonably good new car. We expected a new car. But as we prayed, along comes this opportunity to purchase his second-hand car. That was a second-hand car that we drove. That was an old Toyota Corona, an old model one. So it came, and it was just affordable, right at the figure that we budgeted for. And it was also at a special price because the person was releasing it specially. And we could take it, drive around with it for a few years and sell it at the same price. Right? It was such low price that the person has given. And so as we prayed, there were certain things that we felt impressed. What it liked, like it was a Japanese car and that was the budget, etc. So although on the list it was a new car, yet we found that this is an area that is compromisable. So we opted for that and we drove that around for about 2 years or so. 2 years or so. Until we gave that away, and then we gave that into the renovation fund of the church, and we started praying again for another car specifically. And this time we list specifically, and I got two sets of points that I listed. One, they are not compromisable, one compromise. Not compromisable was that, right, we expected a car of the same capacity, right? We don't know, no, go backwards and old junk, it wouldn't glorify God. Here we are, we gave and it's given unto us bad measure, right? So there will be no testimony. So there are certain points that we could not compromise on. And then certain points are compromisable. So we had a certain budget, and what we were looking for was a Japanese car. But as time goes by, it happened in the past 2 years, Japanese cars got to the same price as a Continental car. So that was when, that was just before the great jump in all the cars. And there was a steady impression to look at this Continental car, and that's how we ended up with a Peugeot. See, there are certain points that are compromisable. But if we didn't understand about these two sets of points, there are certain points that cannot be compromised, certain points that can be compromised, when you talk about praying in detail. What is from your soul and what is from your spirit? See, your soul has certain preferences. If I want to say every one of you is given a blank check, signed blank check to buy whatever car you need, I will assure you every one of you will buy different cars. What made the difference? Part of it could be the budget. But supposing budget is not the limit, yet every one of you would still come up with a different preference, because part of it is our soul preference that's involved. And so soul preferences and details are adjustable. But spirit principles cannot be adjusted nor compromised. But we need to realize this. We need to have a skill of praying specifically. Specifically. Much as you can. And when you list down your specific points, please identify which one are directly from the spirit, which and cannot be compromised, and which are not from the Spirit of God. You have to list down. And which are from your soul preferences, which are compromisable. Like, for example, the color or certain things. Small areas like soul preferences that are involved. So there are details that are necessary when you pray for things like that. Like, for example, when we pray for church land, there are certain details that we list down that we will not compromise on. Like, it must be freehold land, etc. We know those we got from the Spirit. But there are certain other points that are adjustable. Like the actual size. Right? We have a minimum size that we look for. And there's a maximum size that we look for. So there's an adjustable thing that we could go by. We didn't have a thus say of the Lord about a specific area, but specific detail or how big it is. But we know roughly the size we need. Secondly, to prayer, we begin to identify the area that our land is to come from. Specific area. See, it won't be in Chiraz, it won't be in there, it will be in Wilayah in KL. So we got those points out from the Spirit, and some of those points came during the overnight prayer. On our overnight prayer, we list it down. And some of us saw the exact vision of where the land is. The exact area. So we know, we got the area spotted out. And recently we negotiated for the thing. And so we're in the process of signing all those papers to negotiate for the thing. And so there are specific details that cannot be compromised. So once the Lord began revealing certain details from the spirit realm, we did not compromise anymore. I saw many pieces of land, I saw in Shiraz and saw in various areas, but that it was only in that area where the spirit bear witness. Here's where we talk about details. And all the things that we pray for and we are to receive, bear in mind, details will come. When you pray for your life partner, don't tell me you don't pray without detail. The Holy Spirit will always give you some details. Now, to a certain extent, because of our spiritual development and different capacity to receive and hear from Him, some of us may not receive as many details or perceive as many details in the Spirit as we should. Yet, we still do get some details from the Spirit realm. And prayers will not be answered unless you conceive the details. Unless you conceive it. Daily bread. It specified bread. Bread was a staple food of the people at that time. Bread. Things that are specific, detail. Whatever you're praying for, if you have not been specific enough, it will prevent your answer from coming. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. If you don't have a substance or blueprint of the things hoped for, you will never get the contraction or the manifestation of the thing on the spirit bill in the natural. See, what is built in the natural will be built on the blueprint you receive in the spirit realm. And as you receive it in the spirit realm, your soul also gets involved in certain preferences. That is why I talk about the details that come. And certain details from the spirit that cannot be compromised, certain details are from your soul that are compromisable, adjustable. Like for example, when some of you seek to buy a house, possibly your decision will be based on several things. Number one, your income and your budget. And after you determine how much you could afford, then secondly, you will probably have decided whether it's a double story or a single story. And then you'll be deciding on the area. And once you decide the area, there's so many types of models and choices too. See, there are certain areas where your soul preferences will come in. And as you learn to move in the spirit, you will realize that the spirit gives some details, but it seems to give you some allowance of freedom on the soul areas of smaller preferences. And as you learn to move both together, that is where I mentioned about God supplying your needs, and He goes along with certain ones that pleases you too. Ones that seem unimportant to people, but they are part of God's way of making His children happy. There's important details like that. See, these are important when we pray specifically. These are the practical things of life. When you're praying for a house, how do you hear from God if you're not taught? What kind of details? List it down and list out what kind of home you want. Hear from God, pray, get some blueprint, get some details. And then maybe you get those areas. And then maybe God may adjust your heart. And some of the areas may be from your own preference and not from the Lord. And so you learn to adjust. And sometimes there are certain details you're not sure if belong to the spirit or the soul. You list it in a third category and say, not sure. More prayer will ensure it. And as more details come, this is what happens. When your prayers become so specific and detailed, so much that you know specifically in the spirit what it is, that's when your answer is closest in coming. That's when you know your answer is going to come true. Anytime. Because God answers specific prayer. You see, it's just like a lady expecting. When the lady first conceives a baby, the form of a baby is a full human being, but you cannot differentiate the eyes, the nose yet. But as the baby grows in the mother's womb, it grows to the stage where you could identify the eyes, and then you could identify the time the heart beats. And did you know that as a baby gets ready for delivery, fullness of time comes. I mean, there are certain times when you could even see the baby moving and the baby's hand sometimes sticking out. All kinds of things. And they are alive. And you could even see through the scanner and you could see the very shape of the baby. See, it becomes more specific, more detailed. More detail. There are things that go more and more detail as the time of delivery comes. It is no more as blur as when the baby was first conceived. Right? It's very difficult to see when the baby is conceived, you know, seeing, trying to look through the microscope and saying, I wonder whether it looks like the father or the mother. No, but when a baby is born, you could see. I mean, you could see the inclination already. Oh, this looks at Papa, this looks at Mama. Right? You begin to see the details. It's only when conception draws near that the details become more and more. More and more. And even as the baby comes out and develops. In the same way, the spirit realm, your spirit man is like a womb. And there are certain things that conceive in your spirit, that as delivery time comes near, more details come. More details come. More specific details come. I know what it is like. We have been praying for church land since our church started. But as we pray, in the last year, more details came. Before that, we didn't even know where it would be. In fact, we just told the people, first choice KL, second choice DJ, third choice anywhere in Selangor. See, because we didn't have details. But as time came for delivery, then more details came. More details came. Become more specific. And you know exactly what to do. So it's important to have specific details when you pray. And the more details you have, the greater your prayer has a chance to be given birth to. Delivery time has come. And here we talk about the third area. Give us this day our daily bread. Three areas that we have covered. Number one, you have to know the word of God and the will of God in your area, the particular area of your prayer. Secondly, it needs to be areas where we express our daily reliance on Him every day. And that's where I emphasize talking out loud to God. Thirdly, it has to be detailed and specific. Two types of details you can list. Spirit details, soul details. And soul details are compromisable. Spirit details are non-compromisable. Important. Every successful person and Christian who learns to pray in great detail. In fact, I don't release a prayer of faith publicly until I have sent certain details. Certain details. I will have to conceive it correctly before I release it. The details to pray. Otherwise, I will actually pray more in tongues. For my mind does not understand the details, but my spirit does. So I will pray more in tongues. And as I pray more in tongues in certain areas, more details come, I will know specifically what to do. And then I can pray about it in greater detail and conceive it. When we started a church, and we started a Bible school, right? I'm not sure how we're going to organize the thing. But as we pray, more details come. Easy to conceive it for. What it will be like. How will the organization be like? How will the intake of students be like? How will it be organized? So now we have a rough idea. It will be night school and day school, etc. More details come. And then the Lord opened more doors for accreditation for the school. See, all these details come about as the time comes ready to give birth. Then we can pray specifically. So let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As each one of us learn to pray and be successful in prayer of God in different areas of our life, Father, we rely upon you. We rely upon your word. And we pray, oh God, that you continue to teach us to pray in great detail. You continue to teach us, oh God, about the spirit realm. How we could reach into the spirit realm and draw forth from the spirit realm the things that we need, oh God, in this life. Father, you are real. You are our Father. And Father, we pray that even from tonight, Lord, you continue to bring such a closeness to each one of us. That even though at times we don't feel you, we don't feel a tangible presence, yet by faith you know you're there. And we can learn to talk out loud to you. We can learn to relate to you as a person and depend on you for each detail of our life. We promise, Father, to always glorify you wherever we go, whatever we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Let's stand together.